welcome to the Tower Above podcast, a podcast for young carers by young carers. We are coming to you from Beaverbrook's House Blackpool Carer Centre. My name's Dom and I'm joined by a group of our young adult carers, and tonight we are going to talk about what a carer is. For the listeners that might not know, we're going to have a quick conversation about what we think carers are, and then maybe you might be able to identify yourself as a carer while you're listening. So, girls, what would you say a young carer is? Anybody?
It's basically a group of kids from the age of 5 to 18 that care for the loved ones and help around the house or help with, like, anything they need.
Yeah, so it's somebody who's from 5 to 18 and they might help look after someone at home. So
either a family member or a friend.
Family members, friends, loved ones. And you, I presume all you guys do that kind of role in some capacity.
Yep.
Yeah? So you look after people, loved ones, family members or friends, and what about the circumstances at home? How do you help? What kind of jobs do you do? What roles do you do at home to help your loved ones?
You help cook, clean, maybe get them the medicine.
Yeah.
Take care of your siblings if you have any.
Yeah, so you're looking after siblings, cooking, like household chores, like cooking and cleaning is a big one, I think, that most people do.
Or like helping them get around the house or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For helping me, them
out. Or even bathe or something.
I had to help raise my little sister.
Yeah,
so you take them to school,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Yeah, a lot of the young carers help siblings, like dropping them off at school, picking them up from school and mm-hmm. stuff. Because sometimes the parents can't do those jobs, so you kind of have to take on that responsibility, don't you?
Yeah.
So is there any other roles that you'd say that you do at home for caring? Or have we covered most of them there?
I read things for my mum. My mum's
mm-hmm.
blind.
So okay.
I read things for her. And sort of help with little things, like I've been reading like the paper post since I was like 6,
mm-hmm.
so I've always had to read like bills and things like that, work out things like that, rent and things like that.
So. Yeah, so sometimes it can be quite important stuff that you guys are doing that your loved ones can't do, so you take on quite a big responsibility, don't you, to help them out, to make their life easier.
Well, with my sister, because it's my sister that I look after,
mm-hmm.
she's physically disabled, she's got cerebral palsy right side of amnesia, so I usually just put a splint in the morning on for her and things
mm-hmm.
like that, help her get ready for school, and then after school, help her get ready to go out or just lounge around the house, like, you know, get her in her pyjamas.
Yeah.
Because she can't move all her body herself.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then on her bad days, I'd have to help around the house.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't really do household chores. It's more or less just helping.
Helping your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about like emotional support and stuff like that? Do you guys feel like you help your people you care for emotionally as well?
Yeah, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's quite a big one?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So, the quote that I've got for what a carer is, a young carer is a young person under the age of 18 who provides assistance or support for another family member or loved one who is either disabled, has chronic illness, mental health problem, or addiction to drugs and alcohol. They carry out, often on a regular basis, caring tasks and assume a level of responsibility which usually is associated with an adult. Would you say that kind of sums up what you guys have described?
Pretty much.
Do you guys do that kind of stuff at home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's quite an important job that you do. How do you feel about being carers?
Quite proud.
I think you should feel proud. I think it's amazing what some of you guys do at home.
For some people it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with people like me, like juggling exams as well as
mm-hmm.
helping out at home and, you know, stuff like that. It just takes a toll on everything.
Yeah, definitely. But I think sometimes you've got to look at the difference you make to people as well, and
mm-hmm.
then that makes you feel good about yourself, about what you're doing, right?
I've never really felt bad about my caring role,
mm-hmm.
because even though it's like I missed out on my childhood because of it sort of thing, and
mm-hmm.
even though it is really stressful, when you like go home and you see that and you like realise that they couldn't live without you sort of
mm-hmm.
thing, that makes you realise that it's all worth it.
Definitely.
I wouldn't be able to cope if I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to doing it from like, obviously, like you not really having a childhood.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that thing of you've had to do it pretty much your whole life, and if it just stopped, you don't know what you'd do about it.
Yeah.
And
so
it's like,
so you do it because you know it's good, right?
Yeah.
It's just normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like getting out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, for all of us, it's just normal. We've all done it since we were young.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just day-to-day life for us.
Yeah. Well, I think you're all amazing. You all deserve a bag of sour Skittles every week.
Me too.
It's all right, I'll get some next week. So I'm going to ask you a few questions about carers. So some facts, and I'm going to put it out to a group and see what answers you guys come up with, all right? So, true or false? Be a carer, you need to have completed training and work for a care agency.
False.
Of course it's false, because none of you guys have done any of that. And we've got carers who are 5 years old, and I don't think they go on training courses, do they? The next one is, what is the average age of a young carer?
There is
5 to 18.
No, the average age.
Teenagers.
Yeah, specifically.
For young carers, it's 5 to 18.
But we're saying from 5 to 18, but what's the average age? If you had to pick one age, one year.
I'd say about 10. 10. 10.
Yeah,
10.
10, 11.
The answer is 13.
Teenagers,
yeah.
Yeah, 13. I got it right.
Teenagers,
I said teenagers first.
No, I wanted specifics and you didn't give me that. Okay, what percentage, of secondary school pupils are thought to be caring for a parent, a sibling or a loved one?
40%.
Or
something stupid.
10%.
There's a big jump there from 10 to 85.
They were quite small. They were like 22 or something like that.
22 now? Can we come to a consensus as a group? What do you think?
We're like 5 in our school.
5%.
We've got 5, 11, 85 and 22.
I
said
10. No, I think 40%. 45%, something like that.
Are we going for 45%?
55%.
45.
Okay, we're going for 45. 50. The answer is 20%. So one in five people secondary school are thought to be a young carer. So 20%. So Lucy was closest with 22. Okay, and what percentage of young carers care for more than one person?
I care for two people, so.
I care for 13.
Mm. It's like top trumps. So.
17%.
17%? Are we happy
18.
With that?
I'd
You're going 18?
Yeah.
Very, very
I'll
detailed.
I'll say
19
then.
19? Any advance?
25.
Between
okay.
15 and 20.
Oh, wait, it's 20 again.
15.
It's 20 again, yes. Another one in five care for more than one person, according to our stats. Okay, the last question is, who can refer to Blackpool Carer Centre?
Anyone.
We can.
Anyone is the answer, yes. So anyone can refer to Blackpool Carer Centre. So you can be a carer or you can work for an organisation, a school, you can refer yourself, and anyone can record. So if anyone's listening and they relate to any of the facts or stories we just told, you can always call up Blackpool Carer Centre and refer in, and we will try our best to make your life a little easier. So, now we've got our carers facts out of the way, we set the girls three team building exercises this week, and we are going to talk about them now, see how we got on, and see what we did well and what we didn't do so well. So the first activity, who would like to describe what we did in the first activity?
So basically, we had to hold our hands out and close our eyes.
That's the second activity.
That's the third activity, isn't it?
No, that was the second one. But we can start with the second one first. So our second activity.
The first one was the one with the cones.
Yes, the one with the cones. Who wants to describe what we did with the cones?
I'll do the second one. And the first one.
You'll do the second one. So first one, anybody? Any takers? Lucy?
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
I still don't get it.
Did your team win?
No.
Okay.
It was something like,
I think,
three cones for us.
Yeah, we had three cones and we had to tower 1, 2, 3, 4 on top of each other, but we weren't allowed to put
a bigger number
over a smaller number.
Yeah. So you had three cones, like traffic cones, we'll say.
Yeah.
And then you had the disc cones as well, didn't you? And the disc cones were numbered from 1 to 4. And you had to get the cones, they all started on one cone, and you had to get them to the other farthest cone, but you couldn't put a higher number on top of a... No, you couldn't put a lower number on top of a higher number.
Yeah, you couldn't.
It was a higher number on top of a lower number.
Okay.
You couldn't do that.
And you had to transfer them over by doing it. It was two. You were in two teams, and it was the quickest team wins.
Mm-hmm. We did it in about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Literally, you just had to move the pile until the last pile.
No, because you couldn't do that, and it had to be in the other order.
Because it was set up 1, 2, 3, 4 for starters. So
you had four cones, and
it'd be wrong.
And three traffic cones. So you had to like stack them and
yeah,
keep switching them back.
Just move the disc ones as it was to the farthest end.
Mm-hmm.
You'd lose straight away.
Yeah. So how do you think that went? What worked well, what didn't work well?
We did rubbish on it.
You did rubbish.
Trying to do things.
You talked to each other. Communication was
speed.
Big. Speed?
Because speed didn't work for you, did it?
Okay, so like communication was a big one.
Planning
speed.
Planning and preparation.
Planning and preparation.
I prefer the last activity.
Same.
Trial and error was one for the cones as well, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so second activity, who'd like to describe?
Ellen?
Yes. Sure. So basically, we had to close our eyes and hold our hands out, and then Andy brought round a piece from Monopoly.
You're telling the viewers what it was already. We all gave
just
you
an object.
You all got an object each.
We all got an object. And then we had to like put our hands under the table and feel it. And then like describe it to everyone else, but you couldn't say what it was. And I said what it was, so I got disqualified.
So you all had to sit in a group, you all got an object under the table. You couldn't look at the object, you just had to feel it. And you couldn't also say what your object was. So you just had to explain what it does or what you thought it was without saying what it was. And then as a group, you had to come to a consensus of what all the objects added up to.
And I had the red herring.
And we had a red herring in there as well, yeah. Just try and throw you off a scent. But I think you got it in about 20 seconds because Ellen just guessed straight away what hers was and then told the whole group. But that was also an exercise which is supposed to improve your communication and your listening skills. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I think that worked quite well because you all got your objects pretty fast. Even the red herring got guessed after about 30 seconds, even though everyone was guessing different things.
And I didn't have a clue what it was.
You didn't have a clue what it was, but you did get the red herring in the end. And you all discovered that they were actually Monopoly pieces. So it was quite a good activity in the end. And the third activity, who wants to describe that?
That was all fun and games, weren't it?
It was like, we had to stand behind the cones and it was like a bit of a relay race. And we had loads of like cards on the floor and they were all turned over and we had to flip them over in order of ace, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Jack, queen, king,
something like that. But we had to like remember which ones we'd already turned over, so
mm-hmm.
and it was like who did it quickest.
Okay, so it was like a race between you both.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the important qualities in that?
Remembering.
Our team won, so we decided to go anti-clockwise first to turn everything over,
mm-hmm.
so that we knew where it all was.
Okay, so you planned quite well, did you?
Yeah, and then we sort of listened to each other.
So some of the important things were you planned ahead as a team, so we gave you 30 seconds
yeah.
to have a quick plan, and the communication when you came back to speak to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And fitness was quite, you were running backwards and forwards
yeah.
for ages. One team was looking for number four for about 5 minutes, I think.
Oh my god,
about half an hour.
They turned number five over 6 times, I think, during the time they were looking for number four.
Clean them up,
I think
five
was,
to six.
Yeah.
Flip it over.
I think that's why we were good, because we remembered where everything was, and then we said before they went out, we were like, right, don't turn that one over, because
mm-hmm.
that's the next one.
Yeah. I thought what might have been quite a good idea was if you used a clock and said at 12 o'clock, this number's there, 6 o'clock, you know.
That's not.
Or northeast, southwest,
yeah,
maybe.
You're thinking that will be number 12 at 12.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so just to finish this podcast, I'm going to give you a riddle or two, and we'll see if you can come up with the answers. So the first one is, I speak without a mouth and hear without ears. What am I?
A
any ideas?
A fish.
An alarm clock.
A fish, an alarm clock.
Oh, no.
Wait, what was it again?
I speak without a mouth and hear without ears.
That reminds me of Alexa.
Yeah. That's a good shout, actually, isn't it? That could be, but it's not. But it's another kind of Alexa, I think, actually.
Siri.
Google.
No, it's an Echo, the answer. So when you go,
okay.
Echo, Echo.
Google.
Oh.
The Echo hears you without ears and then it speaks back without a mouth.
But it doesn't
speak
back, it just
repeats. Wacko, wacko. So I've got one more riddle and then we'll finish the podcast. What has a neck and no head, two arms and no hands?
A neck and no head.
A neck but no head. Two arms but no hands.
A tree?
A shark?
Nope.
A shark has a head.
a jumper
or a t-shirt.
A shirt is the answer. Has a neck but no head.
Yeah.
Two arms but no hands.
Got it.
Okay, so on that we will wrap up the podcast.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
And subscribe, follow, pass the pod on to all your friends. And hopefully we can make lots more episodes. See you later.